There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Well, this podcast is going to be brilliant, and I know that because it may, no fault to the NHS, but it may take a while to get through to your GP. But we have got one on hand for you today in the podcast. Please welcome Dr. Daniel Gordon.
Yay! Hello. Thank you very much.
How are you today, Daniel? You know we are going to kidnap you after this
and
keep you on call for our personal questions.
I'm fully prepared for it. Part of the agreement.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this Q&A. As you can imagine, loads of people have sent in questions, a variety of questions, you know, about the little ones, about themselves. So we're limited on time. So I want to get straight into this today. I'm going to kick off with this. Why is everyone so ill this year, Daniel?
I wish I knew is the answer. I wish I knew. It's such a good question. And I think that as a parent of three kids, it's kind of the thing we're asking in our house the whole time as well. You know, every morning we have, I don't know if you feel the same, but every morning we have that wake up in the morning where you're kind of trying to see who is it who's going to have a fever? Which nursery are we calling?
Yeah.
Look, the winter time is really difficult. That's when all the viruses start circulating. We've also had the strep A thing, which has been really stressful. Mm. And it's felt a bit amplified this year. And I don't know if there's something about immunity after COVID and children are kind of struggling a bit more to fight off the viruses that they did before. I think to me, honestly, it probably feels clinically like a normal year. So the things I'm seeing are the things I normally see. Mm. So there are better and worse years. It kind of depends on the viruses that are circulating. But I wish I knew how to answer that kind of really honestly, because I think it's just probably a bit of a bad year.
Just so that I understand, without being too medical, and Georgia, you probably feel this as well, every time one of the kids gets a bug, that is building up their immunity for the future, right? It's not just a waste of time.
It's not a waste of time. And, you know, to an extent, we can't stop it. I think that's really important because I think a lot of parents focus on trying to stop it. There is an importance to trying to stop it, but there is also an inevitability about it. And, you know, when your kids first go to nursery, without a doubt, the week after they're off sick, it's just a given, right? Our immune system works in a complex way. So there are some things that once we get it, we remember it, like chickenpox. It doesn't come back ever again. Mm. Very, very rare. But there are other things like coughs and colds where our memory is much shorter. So developing those infections and fighting the infections is part of our natural life. So I do agree with that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's interesting though, isn't it? Because you say like with the coughs and colds, like it's a shorter, like, you know, you don't remember, our bodies don't remember it. Like for me, like Gigi has a cough all the time in the winter.
Yeah.
Like I think someone else has sent that question in as well. Like it's just like a recurring thing. Like from October to February, she has a cough. That's it.
And that's something I'll see in my clinic once or twice a day, I think.
Right.
A kid with an ongoing and recurring cough. And it's important that we see them in clinic. I don't think that we should just say that everyone's being neurotic and so on, because I don't think that's fair. Mm. So it's important that we see them and we check them, because there are some really rare causes of chronic cough. Most coughs, I think parents worry that there's something going on kind of down in the lungs, but most coughs in children that go on for a long time come from up here because they get very snotty. Some of them have quite active airways, so they produce mucus and then they lie down at night and it all kind of drips backwards. So I think that kind of chronic cough at night is something I see quite a lot as well.
Okay.
I'd always encourage someone to get checked though, get their kid checked if they were worried.
Okay. Right, George, do you want to?
Yeah, where shall we go? My two-year-old has had a loose stool for 6 weeks. The stool sample is clear at the doctor. What should I do now?
That's a really good question. So loose stools, again, common presentation in kids. And actually, in a two-year-old, there's something really, really common called toddler's diarrhea. This is going to get really graphic, by the way, just a warning. But in toddler's diarrhea, you often actually, what's quite common is the kid is otherwise completely well and goes about their day normally, but you often see bits of undigested food right in the stools on a regular basis. And that's really, really common and not something to worry about. I think if they've had a normal stool sample, that can only really exclude certain things like bacterial infections and so on. But if you're worried that there's something else going on, there's just been a sudden change, I think you should have a chat to your doctor, because sometimes there are other causes. You might want to see a specialist even as well.
Yeah. That's really good advice. Yeah. Always go with your gut on that. You know, I think we always say that, don't we, George?
Excuse the pun.
Excuse the pun, I was going to say.
Oh, I'm funny and I don't even know it. Okay, another question here about thyroid. I was having a conversation about thyroid over the weekend, actually. Have raised TSH level. I don't know what that is. Should I get medication before TTC? What are all these letters?
So TTC is trying to conceive. So. Okay. TSH is a hormone in the brain, which is released from the brain, which tells your thyroid to produce its hormones, which then control the metabolism around the body. If the TSH is up, it can sometimes indicate that your thyroid is struggling to produce enough hormone. So if you're trying to conceive, it is important to kind of get your thyroid in a good place beforehand. Now, there might be reasons for that. And the other difficulty with that question is that the thyroid can just go off when you're unwell as well and then come back to normal. So I think that requires a full discussion with the doctor, sometimes a repeat test, but definitely if it's abnormal before trying to conceive, you definitely want to follow that up with your doctor.
Okay.
So does that mean underactive thyroid?
Because
you hear underactive and overactive, and I'm like, what does that mean?
Correct. That would mean possibly underactive thyroid if the TSH is going up. It means just your thyroid is struggling.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Fine. Mid-cycle spotting 10 months after having a baby when I never had that previously. Is that normal?
Good question as well. Changes in cycle are really, really common after having a baby. But I think it's really important. I think what most people do in that situation is just put it down to having had a baby. And what strikes me about that question is this is 10 months after.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess where my head would be as a doctor is there's probably kind of 80% of a chance that might be related to kind of postpartum. But actually, we've got to think about all the other possible causes. So I think probably a full check with a doctor, a discussion with a doctor would be really helpful at that point.
Yep, I think so too. I mean, you just don't want to miss anything down there gynecologically. It's like, yeah, it's better to be safe than sorry with all of these things.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
9-month-old, swollen lymph node for 7 weeks. Doctor told me not to worry.
This is another really common thing. So lymph nodes are the glands that we feel kind of in our neck, sometimes at the back here. They effectively kind of drain material from the rest of our body, and they always go up when we have an infection. So I'm sure that, you know, when you've had tonsillitis, you can feel those big swollen glands.
Yeah.
But sometimes we have viruses and infections which don't necessarily cause symptoms, and the lymph glands can swell. Seeing a child with a single swollen lymph node is actually really common, and normally I would reassure them. There's a period of time where that's okay, but then kind of once it gets a little bit longer, we might think about doing some additional tests like a scan of the gland or some blood tests at some point.
What would you be looking for when you do like those tests? Or is it like loads?
It's loads of things.
You're so medical, Georgia.
It's loads of things. You're really testing me. It's loads of things. And there are some things that are probably more worrying. So I wouldn't want to worry anyone. But
yep.
I think the most important thing firstly is if someone sees me with that, then I always look for where the infection might be coming from. So often, like if there's a swollen lymph gland in here in a child, I want to look in the ear. Is there kind of a chronic infection in the ear or in the throat?
Right, okay.
But mostly when these children have scans, they show them to be something called reactive lymph nodes, which is just a lymph node which is reacting to some local inflammation.
Right, okay.
I'm trying to switch my breastfed baby to formula, and every time I do, they keep projectile vomiting.
Okay, good question. And this is definitely one to seek medical advice on. So the switch from breastfeeding to formula is a time where if they've never been exposed to cow's milk before, because most formulas are cow's milk based, where symptoms can come out. Now, I'm not diagnosing this baby with a cow's milk allergy, but if this baby was not a projectile vomiter before and is suddenly being exposed to a cow's milk formula and is projectile vomiting, you definitely want to see your doctor just to at least discuss it check some other things like their weight, ask if there's blood in their stools, is there a rash on the skin? But what I'm hearing in that question is that there's been a sudden change in this child and definitely cause to think about further investigation.
And advice from a mum who's been through a baby that had severe reflux and cow's milk allergy, egg allergy, that did exactly the same thing is 100% worth investigating everything. Don't stop. You know, there are other formulas. If there is a cow's milk allergy there are, you know, there's Neocate and there's lots of other things that there's other routes you can go down, but just projectile vomiting like that, it's not that normal.
Yeah. And my son, when we gave my son formula for the first time, my first son, he was totally fine. And then formula for the first time, within 3 minutes, he had hives and projectile vomiting.
Right.
And exactly. He had a cow's milk allergy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, like Zoe says, there are always other routes. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Don't give up.
Asking for a friend. Why do my big toenails keep falling off when I go for runs? Anon. No, genuinely, like,
that's a great one.
Can I just ask this question? Can I just, like, this is actually me. Great, my big toenails keep falling off when I run. And the last one went completely green. And then my daughter was going, "You've got gangrene." I was like, "I haven't got gangrene," but it was pretty bad. Like, it's getting worse and worse as I was getting, it was really grim. It's my least sexy moment, I'll be honest with you.
There are two main things on the big toenails that in runners that I see a lot of. And the first one is like fungal infection. So sorry to out you there, but fungal infection is one. And that causes kind of chronic problems with the nail. The other thing is chronic trauma in runners. If it's getting really hammered against the your shoe a lot and you do a lot of running, actually just that chronic trauma can do a lot. You probably need to see a podiatrist.
Because the pain after one run where it had been so, like you said, the trauma, it kept me up the whole night. It was like burning and it was obviously just really bruised, and then it went black and then it went green and then it fell off. It's a whole journey with my feet.
Something's not, I mean, I run and that doesn't happen.
Something's not right.
Something's not right.
Okay, I'll go and see if
something's not right. You can get fake toenails. I remember you telling me that. So all is not lost. If you're going on holiday and you've got green toenail, get yourself a fake one. You're all right. Where should go? Nearly 8 months exclusively breastfeeding. My periods haven't returned, normal or not.
8 months and exclusively breastfeeding, quite normal, I would say.
Cool. Okay, fine.
Yeah, quite normal. Stomach muscles still separated. Is this normal 16 months on? Diastasis recti.
Oh, very good. Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Yes, it is normal. Yeah. Unfortunately, it does affect some women. If they haven't seen a good women's health physiotherapist, that is definitely the way to go. Yeah. Someone's really, really kind of tried to help you build up your core again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the pelvic floor is all related to that. I mean, you can still get fingers like that down my separated stomach muscles here, and they closed up and now they've separated back again. But that's because I haven't been practicing my pelvic floor. Everything's weak.
Yeah.
Definitely get a mummy MOT.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
It's like the best money you'll ever spend.
So
my periods are getting closer together. I'm 11 months postpartum. Any ideas? There's only been 17 days since the last one. I've had two periods this month, but I did take the morning after pill. Could that be why? There's lots in there, isn't there?
There's lots in there, isn't it? And I think it comes back to one of the questions we were discussing before. Don't assume that just because you're postpartum that things are, you know, you've had a baby, that things are definitely due to that. I would say on that question, though, so I would advise them to get checked or go speak to their doctor. I would say on that one is the morning after pill can wreak havoc with your periods afterwards for some time. Mm. So that may be playing a part in this as well.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know what I didn't realise about the morning after pill? There's two types, isn't there? So there's one, which is it more expensive, and it's to do with the egg not being released or has been released. And then there's another one. And I didn't know that.
Well, the advantage of having both types is that firstly, if there's someone who can't take one type for medical reasons, but the other thing is that one of them has a longer, so one of them is within 72 hours, but one of them can work up to 5 days. But very important to say, the sooner you take it, the better regardless. So you shouldn't wait for 5 days and then go get the second one, because you can. Really important, if you think you need to take it, to just take one as soon as possible.
So Nikki says, newborn with sticky eye, is breast milk any good for treating it? Oh my gosh, we hear this so much, don't we? How often were you doing that, George? Being like,
I know.
Do you know, I don't actually know the answer to it.
Why?
I've not been asked that by a patient. When someone brings someone to me with a sticky eye, you just need to check for a couple of specific types of infection. But mainly it's a blocked tear duct. And then I normally recommend doing cool boiled water with a cotton bud and then kind of gently clean it. I don't know about the breast milk one, actually, whether there's any medical evidence behind it.
Maybe it is an old wives' tale, but loads of people say, like, for any, gunky eye or like a little like rash or like anything like that, that breast milk, I don't know, who knows,
breast milk, the magic formula.
Yeah, exactly. This is from Ruthie. My 20 month old won't poo. She goes rigid and red. Not sure if she's scared. She eats and drinks okay.
So what we might be talking about here is constipation, and the reason I say that is not specifically because of this child, but actually constipation is really, really, really common in children. And usually not due to a medical cause, but that kind of behavior, you might call it retentive behavior. So where a child has got a bottom full of poo, basically, and they can't go because they actually may be scared or it feels like too much for them. So, and it is really important to break that cycle in children, because then if they do really big hard poos, they can get little tears around their bottom, which hurt, then they don't want to poo even more. And it sets up this horrible cycle. So I would advise them to see the doctor. Because it sounds that actually, although she doesn't seem in distress or pain, that there may be a reason there why she's struggling.
Yeah, once the fear starts coming into it and it becomes this you know, cyclical thing that they do, it's like my daughter Luna, she just wouldn't go for a wee, and it became so bad that the only way that I could get her to do a wee was we had to get in the bath together, and actually when she stood in the hot warm water, she actually couldn't hold it anymore, but she was getting UTIs. I mean, it was so bad. It was literally genuinely the worst 6 months of my life, I think, in my parenting world.
That's what I was gonna say. I had the same with Gigi. She when she started potty training, she just stopped going for a poo. She absolutely hated it, but she wouldn't do it in a nappy either, so it was just the whole the whole process. And we went through, oh my gosh, so much, like the lactulose stuff and all of that. And actually eventually it just came down to she had like a little tear, and it actually really did hurt her when she went, so we just had to get through it, and we did. So you absolutely will come out the other side.
It's just so distressing.
Potty training is the time where it often starts. So usually because there's stress involved, and the kid gets stressed and the parents are stressed, and so potty training is a really common time. And normally I go, as a doctor, I go quite early on laxatives to try and keep everything really smooth, and then when everyone's kind of relaxed and you've passed that period, you can start reducing them.
One tip from obviously Georgia and I've been through it is, like, I just kept asking her, do you need a wee, do you need a wee, do you need a wee, and she was just like, piss off, I don't need a wee. And now you're making me feel really paranoid about going for a wee. So just let them dictate to you rather than other way around.
It is the pressure yeah. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we? Best cream for baby eczema on face.
Best cream for baby eczema is always a moisturiser. So in the medical term, that's an emollient cream, because using a moisturiser regularly keeps the integrity of the skin, repairs the skin. The best ones to use are the thick, kind of greasy ones. The thicker, the greasier, the better. But you can sometimes people find that really difficult because then they've got a slippery baby afterwards. But you can alternate that with something like a lotion, which is easily absorbed. And the trick with it is, as many times a day as you can. So if your baby's got eczema, I'll normally say every time you change their nappy, put a bit of moisturizer on them.
But what type of, right. I mean, in terms of what they can, because obviously some moisturizers and some thicker creams trigger eczema. So is there any, are there any brands that you'd recommend, or do they have to go and see the doctor to get it prescribed?
No, you don't have to get a prescription. I would normally recommend unperfumed things. So yeah. I quite like recommending Aveeno cream. Cetraben Oilatum are very good as well. So those are the thick, greasy ones. Aveeno is quite nice because it's like oatmeal based.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But I normally recommend unperfumed, very much kind of medical moisturizers.
Are there any links between the gut and eczema?
Absolutely, yeah. So, and again, that comes back to the cow's milk protein thing as well, for sure. So that can be there are different types of allergy, but some allergies can come out in really, really profound eczema as well. So definitely, eczema is really common in babies. So just because they have eczema doesn't mean they've got an allergy. But sometimes if you see a child, a baby who's come in, who's covered in eczema, you do start thinking, well, is there something driving this?
My son Axel had eczema quite badly until he was 3, which coincided with him stopping drinking milk.
And
I'm not joking, it just cleared up in probably like a week. It was unbelievable. And he still has dairy now. He has like cheese and stuff, but just in like he just doesn't drink a pint of milk. Like that's all it is. It's just like really small amounts.
And one of the things we would do, because it's really difficult, you don't want to exclude food groups for your kids, do you? But one of the things we would often do is if you are worried about it, one thing you can do under supervision from your doctor is exclude the dairy for a month, for example, but then everything, and then reintroduce it. Because even if they get better, you reintroduce it. Because if when you reintroduce it, it flares again, then you've got a diagnosis.
Are we becoming less tolerant in the modern world? Because I mean... There are so many people that, I mean, we're two mums that had it with our children. There are so many people that we speak to that they either can't, you know, my daughter Luna, gluten, my son Kit, dairy, you know, and that's just one family. And so what was happening 50, 60, 70 years ago when they didn't have the alternative milks, but things were processed differently?
Allergies are really, really increasing. And it's become a huge area of medicine. And I think then parental concern about allergies, quite a big part of that as well, because you obviously don't want to be harming your child when you give them something. There are lots of reasons why that's the case. But I think one of the things that there's this, you know, a lot of doctors quote, there's in Israel where they give their kids peanut snacks from a really, really young age. They munch on these like peanut butter flavored crisps. Basically, peanut allergy is very, very, very low. So there is something about early exposure as well.
Okay, that's really interesting.
That is really interesting.
Wow, that's fascinating. Yeah, okay.
This is from Hannah. I'm worried my son has had too many antibiotics recently. Will this cause future problems?
That's a really, really good question. And again, I think something that we see a lot in the winter, and it's a kind of a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because on the one hand, antibiotics save lives and they treat bacterial infections. And I think as a parent, there can be some winters where you feel that you've given your kid kind of 3 or 4 courses of antibiotics. As long as it's not an overall pattern, which is kind of going on and on and on a regular basis for kind of months and months on end, it shouldn't cause them any future problems at all. Obviously, there's the more global kind of problem of antibiotic resistance and so on. But on an individual level, if it's kind of 2 or 3 courses during a bad winter, it shouldn't cause them any future problems.
Could they look at maybe a child's acidophilus or kind of something to help with the gut flora at that point? Because obviously we know that antibiotics aren't great for the stomach, are they?
Yeah, they absolutely can look at that. I don't know that there's a huge amount of medical evidence behind them, but at the same time, there's not going to be, as long as it's appropriate for children, there's not going to be a huge amount of harm either. Yeah, probiotic is completely fine to try. But I would probably not worry too much about it.
Cool. Okay. And which GP are you going to? Because mine doesn't give out antibiotics at all.
Really?
Well, neither of mine have ever had antibiotics, ever.
That's
and
a good
I'm
thing.
Sure
it
is.
What?
No, they've never had, neither of them have ever had antibiotics. And I'm not joking, like, I've taken them. You know, when you're like, they definitely need antibiotics, like, Gigi's like on the floor. She's so poorly. And they're like, no, she'll be okay.
Wow.
What? Give me them.
And she was okay.
And she was, exactly. They're okay. Right. Doctor's always right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Should we just finish up with one? Because I know that we're running out of time. Let's just end on this one. It's interesting, actually. Skin tags. Why do I get them and how do I get rid of them? I feel horrible.
That's a great question. I'm sorry you feel horrible.
Yeah, don't feel horrible.
Skin tags are just where our skin produces extra cells, like extra skin cells in that area. And they occur in places where the skin rubs against itself. So commonly in the neck, armpit and groin area. They're totally benign. They're never skin cancer, as long as they're definitely skin tags. But cosmetically, they can upset people. You can have them removed, but it's difficult to get that done on the NHS because they're considered to be cosmetic. And you can have them removed by, sometimes you can see a doctor who'll tie them off, or you can have them removed by freezing as well. So they can be removed. They don't have to be removed, though.
Okay, brilliant. And just on a final note, because we've run out of time, but before we go, what is coming up for you? Obviously, you're in clinic lots and lots, but is there anything kind of exciting coming up in your world that we need to know about on the podcast?
Yeah, I've got a few other appearances coming up. So I'm doing some founders kind of forum startup next week. And I've just recorded a whole load of social stuff for my page, so lots and lots of medical advice kind of coming up on my Instagram as well soon.
And what's your Instagram page called?
It's Dr. Daniel Gordon.
There you go. Lovely. Nice and simple.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
How lucky are we that we get to chat to a GP for an hour?
I literally tried to call my GP this morning and couldn't get through. So I'm really glad that we had that on tap.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that we've managed to answer some of your questions, because it is hard to get an appointment sometimes. Yeah. And sometimes as well, you feel like you don't want to waste anyone's time.
Yeah. One of my closest mates is a GP, Zoe Williams. And if there's ever anything major going on, like, for example, anything with the kids or anything that I just want to ask, I'm like, hey, Zoe, how's it going? Look like you're doing really well. FYI, I've got a question I need to ask. She's like, go on, shoot.
I wonder how many of those messages she gets a day.
We need to do products, George. Do you want to kick us off?
We do. I'm going to kick us off. So I guess this is kind of a product. I track my steps on my Apple Watch. I have to be honest, I got an Apple Watch through my health like insurance, and then I just stopped using it because it just used to annoy me. But now, like since the beginning of January, I've really been tracking my steps, like how much I stand up, like all of that kind of thing. And I'm becoming a bit obsessed with it, but in a good way. In a healthy way. Because sometimes, especially like when I've got having a laptop day where I've literally just got like Zoom meetings and emails, I can do like 2,000 steps. It's just not enough, and then I feel shit, like absolute crap, and I think, why do I feel like this? It's because I've literally not moved.
And I think any of those step trackers, you know, there are a few of them that are actually really good. And like Georgia said, if you have got private medical, you can generally tend to get them through that. And if you hit your steps and stuff, then you can get, it's like points off and money off, isn't it, as well?
Yeah,
so there's
exactly.
Like rewards that you can do. I mean, the other day I thought I'd walked loads, and I think I'd done about 1500 steps, and I was absolutely crushed, and that was mainly to the fridge and back. So they are a good idea if you were, you know, if you are at your desk a lot just with your laptop open. Or just looking after a tiny human and you can't get out of the house. I am going to go from Fitbit to a small eyelash brand that I discovered recently called Flickr. Have you ever heard of them?
No, but I do like, I mean, I'm quite fussy about false eyelashes, but I'm interested to hear.
Okay, so they've got really lovely kind of, because I don't like the ones that look too big.
Like the full ones. Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly.
They're not really me. So they've got a whole range of Flickr Naked lashes, which I really love, which genuinely, like, you couldn't tell that you had lashes on, that your lashes just look a little bit more volumized. They're really, really reasonably priced. You can use them again. You can order them online. They get delivered. They've got, as I said, they've got lashes. They've got adhesive liners as well. So you can do a liner and then you can just put your lash on top of it.
Wow. And then I guess
this
that won't smudge at all either.
No, it's incredible.
That is amazing.
You don't need a glue. Definitely check them out.
Oh my God, I definitely will check those out. this is not sexy. So basically, Gigi, I've been trying to get her out of wearing night pants, and she keeps wetting the bed. So her mattress stinks, basically. But Zoe actually recommended this to me. It's called Envy Bed Fresh, and you can get it on Amazon. And it's just a miracle. It doesn't smell. It gets rid of the stains. I think anyone who is nighttime potty training at the moment, just buy it. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, it's 11:49 as well. And yeah, I think we got ours last year and it's still doing the job. Right. So definitely worth next day delivery.
No brainer. Yeah.
There you go.
Just get it.
And then I really wanted to give Jane and Tash a big shout out. It's an online brand, clothing brand. They do incredible jackets that I invested in, that leather aviator, that oversized leather aviator from there. And I had been looking at it for about 7 or 8 months and then decided that actually I was going to take the plunge. But they also do kind of, you know, really lovely, like mittens. The mittens are gorgeous. They're like 60 quid. They're teddy bear ones. So if you've got a pram and you're walking with a pram, you can just put them over your neck and then it's been so cold, hasn't it?
Oh, wow.
Keep your hands, toes. They're just really chic, really different. You're not going to see everyone wearing them. And yeah, a little special shout out because the team's very small and they've got a really nice ethos to them.
Yeah, it's nice to support small businesses, especially like when you're really making an investment like you did with that jacket.
Love it.
Give them a shout out.
There you go. All right. Thank you so much to everybody who sent in their questions. And we're really sorry if we didn't get to read yours out today. There were hundreds of them. But thank you for supporting the podcast. As always, we would love you to rate, review, subscribe, and please give the podcast a little follow because you'll never miss an episode then.
Yeah. And also keep your suggestions coming for these Friday Q&As because they are for you guys after all. And just drop us a DM. We're on @MadeByMamas on Instagram. And we'll be back on Tuesday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.